Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. Fans of the veteran heavy metal group Metallica are divided into two camps. On one side, you have the Metallica purists. They believe the 25-year-old band hasn't made a decent album since at least the early 90s. But on the other side, you have the Metallica loyalists, who've stuck with the godfathers of thrash through a commercial makeover, some uneven albums, and a well-documented journey into group therapy. Now, both sides are at war again, because Metallica has released its ninth album called Death Magnetic. You're hearing a bit of it in the background. We will settle this the only way we know how with another edition of
Soundcheck Smackdown.
In this corner, Ryan Schreiber, founding editor of the online music news site Pitchfork Media, and in that corner, Phil Freeman, editor-in-chief of Metal Edge magazine. Gentlemen, a bow to the gods of metal, and welcome to both of you. Phil, let me begin with you. Death Magnetic, new Metallica record, righteous or irrelevant?
I think it's a terrific record. I think it's the sound of Metallica coming out of a 12-year slump, and it's one part of a big wave of old bands releasing great records. The Judas Priest, AC/DC, Testament, the last three Motorhead records. The oldsters are coming back in a big way, and this one is leading the charge.
Ryan, righteous or irrelevant?
Well, you know, I think they're really toying with irrelevance. And I think, you know, I mean, I sent in an email to you that I hate this album. And I'm actually going to go back a little bit on that and say, you know, I don't hate this album. I hate Metallica. You know, I grew up on their records. You know, Master of Puppets was the first metal tape I owned. I bought it when I was 13. And it was, you know, I discovered it before classic rock, before alternative and indie rock. It was like kind of what showed me and opened my eyes to like a world beyond pop music. But, you know, over the past two decades, I think, you know, they've wronged me and like every other Metallica fan so many times that I'm not like a guy who holds a lot of grudges. But, you know, when you keep going back and giving a band like another chance, like for 15 years, how many chances can you give them? You know, it's like a bad relationship. I always remember what I loved about them, but it's no longer who they are. And this album to me especially is like, it's like them crawling back on their knees. Like, see, we can be the men we used to be. It's like, you know, if you give in, you know, give them a little space, some creative freedom. Next thing you know, they're like up to their old tricks.
All right. Phil, you wrote that this might be the album of the year.
Yes.
What is so compelling about this new Metallica disc?
I think it's a candidate for my album of the year just because it's a much better record than I expected it to be, and it's a Metallica record that deserves to be called that, which is...
Did you expect this record to suck?
I kind of did. I recently had a sort of moment of clarity about this, about Saint Anger, the album they put out 5 years ago, which I hated when it came out, and then only recently went back and started listening to it again in preparation for the new one. And I kind of had this epiphany about that record, which was that they made it on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. It was as ugly as they wanted it to be. And so once I was able to figure out that it was not about me, the fan, it was about what they felt like doing, then I was prepared for the new record. And the new record is, I think it's terrific. It finds them playing to their strengths. They've brought back the old thrashy riffs, but they've mixed them with the best of their misguided sort of turn into bluesy hard rock from the late 90s. There's a hard rock edge to it that combines with the old pounding. And in particular, I think Lars Ulrich gets a lot of abuse for being not the drummer everyone wishes he was. On this record, I think he's really loosened up a lot, and he almost reminds me of the guy, whoever he was, the guy from Discharge, in a way, the UK punk band, because he's really just pounding away back there, supporting the rest of the band, and he's locked in with their new bass player, Rob Trujillo, in a way that I haven't heard these guys lock in with anybody in years.
But I feel like it's almost, you know, it's almost locked in. It's so... I think the production is one of the obvious weak spots of this record, and I think that the drumming in particular is sounds, you know, almost suspiciously mechanical. You know, it's so intensely precise, and it sounds over-digitized. I'm not saying, obviously, that he's not playing it. He's Lars Ulrich. He can, you know, he's obviously capable. But at the same time, it's like, it's one of the things that I used to like about old Metallica and about old records before sort of the digital over digital age was this like imprecision, you know? And it was always in Metallica's, you know, blood to be very precise, but it sounded human when they were. And on the new album, there's just something that sounds not actually real about it.
All right, let's hear a little bit. The album's called Death Magnetic. It is the newest, it's the ninth from the band Metallica. That was Just Your Life, the name of the song from Metallica. The new album called Death Magnetic is the topic of our Soundcheck Smackdown this week. Ryan Schreiber, the founding editor of the online music news site Pitchfork Media, says it's just an attempt to recapture past glory. Phil Freeman is editor-in-chief of Metal Edge magazine. He says this might end up being the album of the year. Phil, how is this album different? I mean, how is it not just a retread of mid-80s Metallica?
I think, as I say, they've brought in a hard rock edge from their mid-90s albums, which didn't work in that context, but it works to sort of beef up the thrash sound that they had originally. It adds a sort of looseness to the extreme wiry precision that they had on Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning. The guitars are more distorted now, and the rhythms are a little bit looser, but still pounding away. And I think
there's guitar solos too.
The guitar solos are terrific. They're some of Kirk Hammett's best solos are on this record. He's been saving them up for, you know, 10 years.
He didn't
years.
Get to do any last album.
He's been saving them up.
So Ryan, what's your thought on what's new here, if anything?
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with that it kind of takes a little bit of recent Metallica or not like 90s Metallica and kind of injects it into their older sound. I kind of will echo that. But I think, you know, I don't know that that's really like a good thing. I think, you know, if I want to hear Metallica sort of returning to a more classic sound, you know, and not to make it purely about nostalgia, it's interesting that they are trying to, maybe that it's a conscious decision that they merged these two elements. I don't know how intentional that was, if they were all the way trying to recapture the past and then ended up just being like only being able to get so far, you know?
All right, well, we want to know what you think of Death Magnetic. Soundcheck listeners, can a band like Metallica ever really go home again? You can call us at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Birder from Brooklyn writes, I have been a huge Metallica fan for years, but have to say these guys haven't done anything good since Cliff Burton died. Too old for this kind of music and far, far too irrelevant. Phil, that's certainly not the first time that we've seen or read complaints like that about Metallica.
Of course not, no. And I myself used to swear that the real Metallica broke up at the end of the tour supporting And Justice for All. You know, that they sold the name to some other band at that point. But I really think this is, you know, a strong record, and I think it's a nod to the metal, you know, the metal community.
I think
welcome back, you know.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, to be that puritanical about it, they're too old to be making this kind of music. They were not, you know what I mean? They were not that old at the time of And Justice, you know. But to me, it feels like that's just something that, I mean, even the Black Album really had its merits. It's something that's still maligned in the sort of puritanical metal, you know, metal community.
Well, but of course, that's the album that had Enter Sandman on it.
Of course.
Which is, you know, the big hit. How much of this, I wonder, goes to an image problem? They didn't make friends with their stance on the whole Napster thing. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But here is a little bit from Metallica. All right, so Metallica went semi-accessible with the Black Album in 1991, and then they took some lessons from grunge on the 1996 album called Load. Where do I take this pain of mine? I run, but it stays right by my side. And then, on their last album, Metallica got all experimental with a studio creation called Saint Anger. And that, in a nutshell, is where Metallica has been. And while Ryan Schreiber and Phil Freeman may not agree on the merits of the new album, Death Magnetic, it sounds like both of you guys agree, and there is general agreement in the metal community, that Metallica lost the thread for a while. Phil, is that...?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. They tried to do something which they weren't cut out for.
Okay.
You know?
Now, they did that. They stood up against Napster and, you know, against a lot of their own fans with the whole file sharing thing. They have entered middle age, and perhaps not so gracefully as we saw in the almost Spinal Tapian documentary, some kind of monster that was made about them. So is there an image problem that Metallica has to overcome?
I think there is, but that leads me to a discussion of the review that Ryan published, which I thought was really interesting, that the choice of writer, because a week prior to the review, Cosmo Lee, the writer, wrote this long blog post about how sick and tired he was of Metallica. So in effect, the review was kind of a rehashing. I mean, yes, he talked about actual songs, but it was, in a way, I saw it coming because I had read his blog a week earlier and commented on that very blog post.
So he was consistent.
Yeah, but I mean, it was kind of like, why run this, you know? And which brings me to the larger question. It was interesting before, early on in the show, if it was even on air, Ryan mentioned, you know, being a fan of Metallica at 13, which was kind of interesting to me because in the metal community, the image of Pitchfork and its staff is kind of the people who got pantsed by metal fans in high school, you know? So I was kind of curious because, like, no one would care what I would have to say about Peter, Bjorn, and John or Anthony and the Johnsons. So why should anyone care what Pitchfork has to say about Metallica?
Oh, vicious. Well, you know,
it is
for one
smackdown,
thing.
You know.
It is. But one thing I would say is that, you know, Pitchfork is aligned with indie rock and independent music, and that's sort of like our bread and butter, but we do cover a broader, you know, scope of music. So I think with Metallica, I mean, that's a band that extends beyond just being like a metal community band. You know, like they're a band that even if you're not into metal, you could be like wildly into Metallica, you know. Even when I was sort of really in my sort of Metallica phase, which lasted, I mean, I would say from 13 to 17, it overlapped with when I was getting into indie rock and that kind of stuff. So to me, they're a band that your opinion on it isn't necessarily tied to what you like as music. But I think that at the same time, you know, that everything that Cosmo said in his review, I mean, not everything, because I actually like the record a little bit more than Cosmo did. But, you know, what he said in his review that really rung true with me is that this album is really a midlife crisis. You know, it's a band kind of going back to not knowing where to go next, having done all of these, you know, sort of experimental, you could call it. Saint Anger, that's putting it nicely, I would say. But it's them having gone down this really wrong path and being like, oh man, we need to like step back and just figure it out and make something that the fans like. And one thing that you said actually in your review that I disagree with is that it's not about the fans. It's about Metallica. And I think that's really wrong with this record. I think this record, more than maybe any Metallica record that's been recorded in the last 15 years, is more about the fans.
All right, let's see what some of those fans have to say. And by the way, the Pitchfork review is linked on our website at wnyc.org. Ray joining us from Roslyn, New York. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you? How's everything?
All right, what do you think of the new record?
Well, I mean, you know, as I was telling your screener before, you know, I've always been a fan of Metallica ever since, you know, Injustice for All. And, like, when I read these reviews, you know, they just get so technical and they just get so, you know, so into the music and, you know, in terms of its architecture and everything. And I think that, you know, to the average listener like me that, you know, likes it for, you know, what it is and takes it for, you know, how the music makes us feel, you know, I think that's the way it should be. Like, you know, I really don't care, you know, whether they take, you know, elements from Puppets or from Kill 'Em All or for something like that and put it into the new album. You know, to me, I judge each song individually, you know, in and of its own. So, I mean, you know, people say, you know, that they sold out with Saint Anger. Well, you know, my response to that is, you know, Saint Anger, you know, really served as a filter to get rid of all those, you know, wannabe posers that, you know, jumped on the bandwagon because, you know, their friends Pete, Larry, and John were in, you know, into the band. So I think it's, you know, for me, the music is amazing. I've been, you know, a follower. I've seen, you know, 3 or 4 concerts with them, and it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I
love your image of Saint Anger as the filter to weed out the impure among the listeners. Adam in Westchester also joining us on Soundcheck. Adam, are you a Metallica purist?
I've been a Metallica fan since my days at Wesleyan University in the late 80s, listening to Injustice for All. And this album, to me, looks like it should have been the next album after Justice for All. We haven't talked about the length of some of the songs on this album and just the sort of orchestral nature, the complexity, the different parts. You know, I'm one of those people that came to Metallica from being a progressive rock fan, bands like Rush and Yes. And I'm not really a heavy metal guy, but I love Metallica, and I think this is a great album.
All right, Adam, thanks very much. Our number is 212-433-9692. Andrew said that this should have been that record, you know, 15 years ago, that kind of continued the real Metallica sound. Rick Rubin produced this record, Phil. Do you think that's partly his doing, getting them to come back to this older sound?
I think it
is.
I mean, Rick Rubin is sort of legendarily an absentee landlord in the studio. He comes by every couple of weeks, says, "How you guys doing?" But he provides ideas in that interim. And I do think that he pushed these guys in a direction that they might have ended up going on their own, but, you know, they needed that little extra push.
Now, let me pick up. Ryan picked up on something you said earlier about how with the previous album, Saint Anger, Metallica didn't do it for the fans, they did it for themselves, which sounds fine. But as a fan, I want the band making its record for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this record is for the fans?
I think it's for the fans. And more than that, I think it's an album that can give them, even with the long songs and the crazy thrash riffs and the guitar solos and everything, I think this is a record that non-diehards can appreciate. My wife does not like metal, but will listen to this album in our car.
Right.
So, you know.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Outnumbered. All these great reviews and stuff, people calling in. What do you got for yourself?
You know, I don't think there's any point really in Metallica's career where this album would have sounded like they weren't out of ideas. You know, I mean, I think, like, even if it came after And Justice for All, where it sort of naturally would belong in their discography, it's still missing all of the sort of crucial earlier elements insofar as, like, I mean, it does have, like, the song lengths, the complex structures and things like that, and and is, but at the same time, like emotionally, it's sort of like a husk of what, you know, sort of Metallica was. So, and I think the thing about Rick Rubin too is, you know, he's a guy who's enlisted. Like whenever a band really desperately needs help and really wants to kind of get back, the sort of return to form kind of idea. And I think, you know, one thing that he did with Johnny Cash, you know, right, with American Recordings, he didn't just say go back to your roots. You know, there was sort of an updated sound, there was a new production, even the material was new as well. So he brought out the darkness, and I think American Recordings was like the Man in Black at his blackest. So by this logic, this should be like the most crushing, destructive,
most
brutalizing
Metallica
album ever.
All right, let's see if we can get a final call in. Richard joining us from Staten Island. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
So what do you think of the new record?
I haven't heard the new record. I had heard one of the songs, the new record, and I listened to SOU, which is a metal station coming out of Newark, and I thought it was good, but halfway through the song, it just got, like, it just lost its impetus. But the point that I was going to call about was that you have a band that...
Do you have a metal band going on in the background there?
No, I have a... My job is with special needs people.
Okay.
Anyway, you have a band that their best music was when they were not even out of their 20s.
Right.
Thing, you know, playing for people that are 15 years old, maybe at the oldest, like 18, 19 years old, that's what they are. And their music is that of that type.
Well,
you can't expect them to, you know, to
sound like teenagers when they're in their mid-40s. We're going to have to leave it there, Richard. Sorry for cutting you off, but we've got to make room for more music. Metallica in the background from the new record called Death Magnetic. We've been debating the merits of the new record, the ninth from the famous heavy metal band. Phil Freeman is editor-in-chief of Metal Edge magazine. His review is also on the soundcheck page of our website. He likes the record. Ryan Schreiber, not so keen on it, the founding editor of Pitchfork Media, instead has a list of other metal bands you should look at, and that list is on our website as well, the soundcheck page at wnyc.org. Phil, Ryan, thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
And coming up, the English songwriter Johnny Flynn has risen from busking on street corners to touring behind a critically acclaimed album. He'll join us to play live in our studio. And go to the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org, where you can check out our songwriting contest. Your lyrics could be selected by our Grammy Award-winning judge and set to music by New York area musicians. That's the soundcheck page at wnyc.org.